Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's March 28th, 2006, and this is show number 8. On today's show, we ponder the question, is slacking off a good thing? Also, we talk about senior citizens playing video games, and an ice cream spaghetti maker, and brain shrinkage.
Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim, saying hi from Madison, Wisconsin, and it is almost spring.
Well, almost. Officially it is spring.
Yeah, that's true. Officially on the calendar, it is spring.
But the weather really hasn't reflected it too much.
It's inching into the 40s and 50s, so that's a good thing. And coming at you at the end of March here, so we're hitting it right under the wire to get this podcast number 8, our 8th show.
Yes. Just think, by the time we do number 9, it will be really nice out.
That's good. That's good to think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start off the show with a little bit of music, bringing you some more PodSafe music from GarageBand.com. This is a song called Children by Ethan Elkind. So take a listen.
Looking around the world today, it's hard to feel my grip okay, but I believe in another day, and I believe that soon we'll say that a rich man's son will soon rise up to help us, and a poor man's girl will soon join him to lead us on and through, and help us shine. It's hard to see what's going right, and the feeling comes and the feeling goes. What's left behind, no one knows. Yeah, but I don't have to ask myself why, 'cause soon enough, each of us must die. So let's make it right on a Saturday night. Come on and dance with me. Looking across the ocean here, the sands of time feel oh so near, and I'm wondering when the day will come when all been wrong will be undone, and the stolen lands will one day be returned, and forgotten ways will soon be all relearned, and the children will be running free for you and me. Then watch it fade away, watch it fade away. And if you truly know the meaning of holiness and sacred love, you'll watch it fade away, watch it fade away, I'll fade away. So help me see another day when I'll be left here old and gray, and everything I've done can't last. It all adds up to a greater past, where the rich kids and the poor folks get it done, and the city folks and the villagers live as one, and the feeling that tomorrow comes from today. I believe that that soon the day will come when everything will fade away as one. And then we'll see what's meant to be, most definitely.
All right, and that again, that was Children by Ethan Elkind, and you can find out more about that at garageband.com. They have all kinds of cool music by independent people, independent folks getting their stuff out. So that was kind of a neat little acoustic, jangly kind of thing.
I like the beats and the guitar in that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
All right, in the news. This off the wire from ABC News. Nintendo game a hit with seniors in Japan. Out of Tokyo, like many retirees, Isamu Shishido sometimes forgets names and even his own telephone number. But now the 67-year-old says he's found a product that could sharpen his thinking, a new brain training game from Nintendo Company. The ailing maker of Super Mario and Pokemon games has scored a hit by courting Japan's burgeoning gray market with Brain Training for Adults, a number and puzzles game that Nintendo says can stimulate the brain. I don't want to end up some crazy old man, Shishido explained at a crowded Tokyo electronics store after trying the game on display. I want to play a little every day before going to bed. The game, played on the company's handheld DS console, is part of an effort by Nintendo to broaden its customer base amid falling profits. Brain Training puts players on a daily regimen of number games, word puzzles, and reading exercises. It also lets players test their intelligence levels through IQ-type quizzes. It saves the results so progress can be tracked or compared with others. Apparently, the new version of the game launched last week and promptly sold out, forcing eager buyers to scour Japan's electronic shops in hopes of finding one in stock. Selling them out like hotcakes. We're not surprised. People who never even liked computer games are now getting hooked, said Ken Toyota, a Nintendo spokesman. Shouldn't he work for Toyota Motor Company? Spelled differently.
It's his dad.
Yeah. To cater to older customers, the Nintendo DS is user-friendly. There is no complicated set of controls, just a pen and touchpad, and players can turn the console sideways to make it feel more familiar, like a book. Apparently, Nintendo's strategy seems to have worked. Some hospitals have even started putting Nintendo DS units in waiting rooms and wards for patients. We've made 10 Nintendo DSs available, and they're almost always rented out, said Atsuko Uchida, an administrator at Kyoto's Uchida Hospital, which runs a memory loss clinic for patients with dementia. All right, all I can think of with this is my grandma playing, like, Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
You know, or Legend of Zelda trying to rescue the princess.
Does that make your head blow up a little bit?
It does, a little bit. Although it sounds like this is a fairly tame, probably isn't much like a video game of what we would think of.
But, right.
Interesting.
Well, and the first thing I thought of when I read the article has to do with some of the controversy over video games in general. Based on my background as a kindergarten teacher, you know, teacher or parents always asked in conferences, kind of whispered the question, you know, is like, are video games kind of, you know, are they as bad as what the research says and all this? And, you know, I think people are kind of aware that video games and excess as for children aren't that great. So it's interesting to hear this article saying for senior citizens how it kind of gets the brain activity moving in different directions and re-stimulating.
And a lot of the games are kind of like mind games, challenges.
Yeah,
I bet like Tetris would be a good game like that too to get your mind going. And I think that's a key is as you get older to always keep your brain active.
Right, and your body.
Right,
you
which
know?
Is a key. So Hey, more power to them,
well,
I say.
You know, they people are always saying, you know, like wanting to be younger, but I go back to that concept of you're as old as you think you are, as old as you want to feel, and your mind can really play tricks on you. You can act 90 when you're 60 or whatever, you know. It's like, I don't know. I think
indeed.
That mental, I think your awareness of it is huge too. It
makes a big difference. And then you bring up your brain and the mental stuff. Speaking of that, we've got another report out of MedIndia.net. I got this. I saw this a couple different places. But stress, the main cause of brain shrinkage in old age. Researchers at Edinburgh University have found that stress is a major cause of depression and Alzheimer's disease in old age. They have identified an area of the brain which shrinks in old age, resulting in depression and Alzheimer's disease. The discovery has paved a way to develop new treatments for Alzheimer's disease. The shrinkage of a region of the brain called the anterior cingulate cortex, easy for me to say, result in the release of high levels of stress hormones. Dr. Alastair McCulloch, again, very easy for me, it just rolls off the tongue, said that this study would help in the better understanding of aging, depression, and Alzheimer's disease by the doctors. Hence, in conclusion, the scientists say that the treatment should aim to reduce the high levels of stress hormones in one's body. So,
well, okay.
Your brain can shrink when you're stressed out as you get older.
It's like the number one fear that everyone has about getting older is getting Alzheimer's, because that's like
one of the scary things. Yeah.
You know, I mean, losing that ability to recognize your family and your just the fear that's involved in like forgetting everything. I personally have never had that happen. You know, someone in my life has had that, but you have, and you can speak
personally.
Yeah, my
grandma. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's very much a red flag of like, okay, stop being stressed out. You don't want that to happen. You know, like your brain is shrinking. It's changing as you grow, and that's not good.
I think that one of the things that I bring up when I'm speaking is the idea of how serious stress is on our health. And this is just another test. You know, I talk how 100% of all the things that kill us, so pretty much all of our diseases, depression,
accidents
even, all of these things, stress has been linked to all of them. And I think, you know, people sometimes are just like, yeah, stress, you know. And they don't realize how much of an impact it has on our body. And here's another study showing that it's making your brain shrink. I don't want my brain to shrink, you know.
All the CSIs we watch when they, like, cut into the brain and take a look at it and hold it up and you want to just turn away. It's like, that's so interesting to think that my brain could be shrinking based on what I'm allowing my body to go through, you
right.
know?
That's right. Very, very big. Now, you know, there may be differences between your brain and my brain and the way we react to stress. This is our one more article here. Got this online. Men are less capable of handling stress than women, according to a new study.
Was this written by a woman?
That's what I'm like to know. Here we go. Based on a new study, scientists are of the opinion that women are in a better position in handling stress than men. In the study that was conducted using rodents, they found that female rodents handle stress better than males and said that it may shed light on health differences between males and females. The 3-month research by the University of Chicago used 120 rats and measured them. Probably just got them right off the street, and measured them in what is known as the inflammatory response, the body's initial fundamental immune reaction to bacteria, viruses, and other invaders. Just 2 or 3 weeks after being subjected to isolation and a brief period of acute physical stress, male rats showed a markedly slower inflammatory response than female rats, reported the online edition of Chicago Tribune. In fact, the response of the female rats was staggeringly stronger, the authors wrote in their paper, which appears this month in the American Journal of Physiology. All right, we're talking about rats here, first of all. So I don't know how
that compares.
How
to
we can compare this to humans?
But they do it all the time with medical testing.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I'd like to know who the authors are. They're saying, you know, that women can handle stress better.
You know what my theory on this is, and this is completely like
scientific.
Very. Yeah, you know my scientific background. Check my resume there, but.
I don't think we need to bring up the our dog's colorblind experiment again.
Let's not go to my science fair, eighth grade experiment. But, like, okay, here's my thought process, is that maybe women were designed to handle a little bit more stress, whether it's physiologically or psychologically or whatever, because of the importance of them being able to carry children. I don't know if there is a connection, but you know how, like, the pretty birds are always, like, the males, like, that kind of thing?
Yes,
like, the same kind of thing. It's like maybe women are somehow designed and built to be able to, like, handle their stress differently. I don't know how, but so that procreation can continue, almost like a purely biological, like, existence or something.
I wonder if it has anything to do with guys being easier to live with than girls.
What?
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean,
I think that's an opinion,
girls,
not a
girls
fact.
Girls can be pretty high maintenance, and you know, that's a lot of stuff for guys to have to deal with all the time. And you know, the converse, I think, is not so much. So
I think that's purely opinion based. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying we're worn down. Okay.
That's what I have to say.
All right. That's it. That is it for the news.
I kind of want to go back to that. I'm not really done.
We need to move on.
Okay.
Okay. Our top story, is slacking off a good thing? All right. I've got an interesting thing here. I pulled this off of CNNmoney.com, and the headline is, "Be smarter at work, slack off." It goes on to say, but I'll have the full article online, but here's a few excerpts. "Consider that for most industries, the U.S. can't hope to be the low-cost producer in a global economy. So with innovation now our main competitive strength, creativity is crucial for anyone who wants to move up. But it's really, really hard, if not impossible, for the human brain to come up with fresh new ideas when its owner is overworked, overtired, and stressed out. And in today's wonderful world of nonstop work, 40% of American adults get less than 7 hours of sleep on weeknights. The physiological effects of tiredness are well known. You can turn a smart person into an idiot just by overworking him."
I love that quote.
notes Peter Capelli, a professor of management at Wharton. "Still, putting in more than 50 hours a week at the office has become routine. And that doesn't count time spent doing paperwork at home, answering email at the airport, or talking on the phone in the car." It goes on to say that the late Peter Drucker, who was a sales and marketing guru, business guru, he wrote in The Effective Executive 40 years ago, "All one can think and do in a short time is to think what one already knows and to do as one has always done." So let me read that again, because I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. "All one can think and do in a short time is to think what one already knows and to do as one has always done."
Hmm. Not much innovation happening there.
No, and that's where you wonder why we're in a rut, is because we're not taking time out. It talks about multitasking. "It's not really news that so-called multitasking can actually make people less effective at their jobs." And this is interesting because I know so many people, including someone sitting next to me.
I'm getting better.
Who is so proud of how well she can
not
multitask.
Anymore. I'm getting better at this.
It says, "One detailed study 5 years ago by psychologists at the University of Michigan demonstrated that because the human brain needs time to shift gears between tasks, the more switching back and forth you have to do between, say, talking on the phone, reading email, and thinking about your next meeting, all while scarfing down a sandwich at your desk, the less proficiently you will tackle any of it, except maybe the sandwich. The time cost of refocusing your attention may only be a few seconds with each switch, but the researchers found that over time, it reduced people's total efficiency by 20 to 40%.
Just by changing tasks. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and
And I'm totally guilty. I used to brag about that of like, oh, you know, I can multitask. And, you know, especially in a kindergarten classroom, how many different things you have going on and juggling. And you're the one who pointed that out to me as you read different studies, because it's been all over the place the last year or so at least. But about just how that's not necessarily a good thing.
There was one story that talked about when you're switching between, you know, chatting and email and doing this and doing that, that it's actually worse than if you were smoking pot.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
That's telling.
Smoking marijuana, you know, you think you're probably not very effective. You're actually more effective doing that than you are when you're switching back and forth. And I think what's interesting is that Peter Drucker quote about, you know, we have like these little breaks of time, and there's only so much you can do with that. You can only do, like it said, what you've already been doing in those amounts of times. And it's so hard for us to take long stretches of time. reminds me of something I actually just talked about this in my blog, is the concept of how important it is when you have like this, when you think of like a jar of muddy water. Okay. And I kind of think about that as like life. When it's like shake up your life, you shake up this jar of muddy water, it gets all cloudy and it's all hazy and stuff. It's all dirty. And if you look at that as a metaphor for life, you know, sometimes you're just running around crazy. It's hard to see what the heck you're doing. You know, you're just focused on the task at hand and you can't actually see very far down the road. But when you put the jar down and let it sit for a certain amount of time, eventually the dirt goes to the bottom and the water clears up a little bit.
Right.
And I think that is something that kind of ties into this, is that you need to sometimes take a chunk of time, you know, sometimes more than a couple hours, sometimes maybe a day or even a week, to just kind of let yourself settle and get your priorities in order. And I think that's a huge thing.
Right. And I think people, like it said, we're not sleeping as much as we should be. We're working longer than we should be. And those are two things right there that people kind of have control over, you know,
right.
Like you have control over how many hours you sleep. You have control over how many hours you work, and whether you think you do or you don't, you really kind of do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and if
you don't,
a conversation
you
with your boss,
denial.
Then it's conversation with your boss. But, you know, I think those are two huge things. I think, Jason, you know, you and I, we just recently changed our work schedule to kind of fit more of the pattern of our recently changing life.
Right.
And I found that I'm now getting 8 hours of sleep instead of 7 in this new schedule. And I have to tell you, I'm starting to feel a difference. I didn't think I would, because I was convinced that 7 hours was enough. I'm like, oh, I can get by. I don't feel too tired, blah, blah. But now that I know the difference, I'm like really starting to feel better.
And I would guess you're more productive too with the time you are spending.
Right. I don't feel like I need to take a nap in the middle of the day, which is how I felt before.
Right.
You know,
I think like this article goes on to talk about Google and how they're famous for their kind of laid back, stress-free atmosphere, but that they're one of the most innovative companies around. And so I think that this concept fits between business and personal life. And we've decided that we're going to kind of put our money where our mouth is. And then a couple weeks here, we're going to take a week off, weekdays. And took a lot of deliberation because we have pretty hectic schedules and stuff, like a lot of people do. But
it's never easy to take time off.
From a creative standpoint, and as the CEO of this company, it's been difficult for me to focus on the long term and think about the big picture stuff, and also kind of need a break from the creative aspect. And so for me, it's an important thing to take the advice of this article and to just detox. And so we're going through with it, and we're not going to go anywhere special. We're going to get disconnected from the internet and email and phones and all that stuff, and just kind of see what happens, I guess.
I hope we come back.
Yeah. Yeah,
it may be tempting not to.
I am confident I will come back renewed and rejuvenated.
You'll have to pull me back kicking and screaming.
Well, let's see. Tied in with this article, there was a quiz of how stressed are you? And so I thought it would be kind of interesting for us to take this, the two of us maybe as a couple. So we'll just like blow through this real quick. First question, conditions at work are unpleasant or sometimes even unsafe? And the answers range from never, rarely, sometimes, often, very often.
I would say rarely.
All right, yeah, I'll go with rarely.
Because it's not never. Like, sometimes it's unpleasant.
But... I'm not going to elaborate on that or why you might think that. But keep in mind that we work together. We do have some other folks that are in and out also working here, but we work out of our own place currently. And so I'll let you let your imagination run wild on that. Yeah. Number two, I feel that my job is making me physically or emotionally sick. Kim is sick right now. I don't know.
I don't know if my job did that, though. It's just natural flow of sickness and health.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do for you sometimes, rarely.
I guess rarely because okay. I don't think I get physically sick by
All right. Let's go on. Number three, I have too much work or too many unreasonable deadlines. I'm going to have to say that we have a lot of work.
Yeah.
And unreasonable deadlines. I mean, my boss is terrible with that. He just expects so much out of me.
Well, look in the mirror and do something about it, buddy.
Well, he's hard to approach, okay? He's a taskmaster. I'm going to say often.
Yeah, on that I'd agree with that.
All right, number four. I can express my opinions or feelings about my job to my boss. Well, I can, but he doesn't always hear them. That's the problem. How do you feel about this one?
Am I going to lose my job if I'm honest?
You will stop talking now. No, it's time to be open.
I would say sometimes.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, you know, when you share the same bedroom, it's not hard for the opinions and feelings to be aired. It's pretty common. So I would say often that they're expressed.
Okay. That's fine.
Again, they may not always be heard, but that wasn't the question. Number five, my work interferes with my family or personal life. What do you answer when your family and work and personal life are all the same thing?
Well, like extended family.
Ah, okay. Well,
I would say often, because especially lately we've been on the road so much that we are, you know, like it's a balance to try to kind of connect with people.
Yeah, we've been gone a lot of weekends, so it's been hard to kind of hook up with people. And obviously we need some time to you know, we're taking a week off. So that's part of the personal life thing too, right, is that we haven't had that. So we'll put often. All right. I have control over my life at work. Yeah. I'd say that we do. That's part of
very often.
That's part of the joys of running your own business. There's a lot of extra stresses that come with it, but you do have control.
Yeah.
And actually, I think this is a question. I think everyone has a lot of control over their life at work. I think that...
Can I add something to
yeah.
that? I think everyone has control over their life at work if they do their job to the best of their ability.
Because yeah.
if you don't, then you don't have much leverage. And not to put leverage as the key thing there, but like as far as like respect from your leadership and stuff like that, it's like you have more control when you're a good employee.
Yeah, I'll buy that. And when you have the option of switching jobs.
Right.
Which some people don't think they have, but they're really, I think, just staying for the security purpose.
Right.
But that's a whole other topic. Number seven, I am given recognition and rewards for my good performance. This is another problem of working for yourself, is you don't often get medals and trophies. Although we did get mentioned in a recent Madison Magazine article, so
right.
I'll take that as a little bit of a recognition. But
as far as self-recognition, it's harder to do.
Probably rarely. Yeah. And one more, number eight, I use my talents to the fullest extent at work.
I would say often.
Yeah, I would say often.
Yeah,
again,
because I think that's part of what
why we got into this yeah. and why, what we're doing. So, all right, let's tally it up.
Oh, dear.
Final score, 21 out of 40. Analysis, moderate stress. You're not suffering much more pressure than most people cope with.
Hmm.
That's not too bad.
Okay.
I think that taking the time to take the week off will definitely help, because I think I've been exceptionally stressful lately. But
Moderate.
That's not
huh?
bad.
Okay, so we got like a C.
Yeah, I guess that's what that is. We got some work to do, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, it's not that great.
I can
great.
Feel my brain shrinking already. All right.
This is adding more stress knowing that. No, I'm just kidding.
Let us move on.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Wheel of Fish.
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
All right, our promotion. Last month's promotion, we asked our listeners to write a review of this podcast on the iTunes Music Store. Now, we do have quite a few listeners, but only two took the time to come up with a few reviews. And
They're good ones.
They are good ones.
Yeah.
They are really good. I'm really excited. So we decided we're going to give the super cool prize to both of them. And I don't really have a whole lot of time in this episode to read them, but you can read them yourselves. They're really good.
Right.
We decided to give the prize to both of them, Tina Smith and Jason Bean. Both, we thank you for the nice complimentary words.
Thanks for taking
the
time.
Took the time to do it, yeah. So in compensation, I guess, as your prize, we promised a really cool, random, super cool, special prize kind of thing. And what we did, we had a couple of the Kim and Jason 5-year flashback books, and we've been kind of dubbing these as very small mini coffee table books. Basically, commemorating the 5-year anniversary of Kim and Jason.
Yeah,
and these
got
things,
some neat things in it.
We only gave out to people who were Club K&J paid subscribers. So the only people who got those around Christmas time were paid subscribers. But we have a couple left, and so...
And it worked out good, because neither Tina or Jason are, so...
Right, so we
that makes it super cool for you.
We'll ship them out to them.
Yeah.
All right, what about this month's promotion?
Well, this month's promotion, since we're talking about de-stressing and relaxing, we're trying to... I actually want to find out what people do to relax. So tell us, what's your favorite way to relax? Email us, and... You know, then everyone who emails us will be entered in to win another random super cool special prize. But I'm anxious to see kind of what people do, you know, do you like go to the spa? What do you do? And I'm anxious too, like what like free ideas there are just personally, you know, cause it's always interesting to see what you can do without even having to open up your wallet, you know, so. Give us shoot us an email with what you do to relax, and hopefully we can all get some ideas and kind of learn from each other.
It's a pretty easy thing to do. You can get a super cool random prize that we come up out of our butt, and I don't know if we'll do random or if we'll do the best one. Well, I'm not sure yet, but just send us your ideas.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
And for the Kim and Jason update, really quickly, we've got Stinky's blogging.
Yes.
You know that? Stinky
I know.
Is blogging.
Should we be worried?
I think the blogosphere should take note.
Is this the first blog written by an animal?
I've seen a blog written by Chewbacca. This might be the first...
Skunk, okay.
Perhaps. I think you might take that claim to fame. So Stinky's blogging. If you click on any comic strip, you can read Stinky's blog. Unfortunately, or fortunately, if you are a Club K&J subscriber, you get to read it because it's a subscriber feature only. So yet another reason to subscribe. It's only $25 a year. And there's all kinds of
amazing
features.
I have to say, Stinky is very opinionated, and he is letting his voice out because, you know, Kim and Jason don't really give him much chance to talk.
No,
let's be honest.
This is his opportunity.
Yeah, he's blogging away.
It's been interesting.
Yeah. The other cool thing that Jason, you mentioned earlier, is that One of the things that just recently happened, like within the last 48 hours, is Madison Magazine, the April edition, came out, and Jason was featured as the up-and-comer for the month.
Ooh, up-and-comer.
No pressure. But if you haven't read Jason's blog about that, it gives a link to the article. The title of the article is called Curing Adultitis, Cartoonist Looks Like Clark Kent, Makes People Laugh in a Single Bound. So it's pretty, it's very witty. The person who wrote it did a very good job, and it's a good article. So check it out through Jason's blog, or we'll have a link on our show
notes.
Now
I have to do something with my life.
No
live
pressure.
Up to this hype.
All of whoever subscribes to Madison Magazine will be looking to see.
Okay, and the last thing, our store is getting a bit of a shakeup. You may have noticed the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand got a new coat of paint, new look.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of adding a whole bunch new products to the store. Basically it's cool stuff for the at heart. So we have been scouring the internet and scouring different resources, and we are in the middle of deciding on what new things to bring in. So
it's going to be some really, really unique stuff. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yep, you will not
want
to miss
soon.
It. We'll let you know as more unfolds. Okay, in the FAQ feedback section, you know, I got an email from Tina Smith. You may remember her. She was one of the people who wrote a review for us.
Yes.
And she...
Thanks, Tina.
She was really nice, and she had mentioned that she has three kids, including five-month-old twins.
Wow.
So what I did, I hope she doesn't mind, but I emailed her back because I basically just said, what is it like to have twins? Because you have twins on your side of the family.
Yes.
And
my mom's a twin. Like, it goes like the every other generation.
We
thing.
Are pretty much dead center that we're for sure we're going to have twins. I don't know. I just have a feeling about it. So I asked her, I go, what is it like? So I hope she doesn't mind me reading her thoughts, because I just thought it was really a really neat perspective. She said, what's it like to have twins? Well, when my husband and I found out, we were shocked. It takes a while to get over that. But we were related to, and I felt as if I had won some kind of baby lottery. I still feel that way. Babies are so cute, and two are twice the everything. Fun, sleeplessness, joy. It is especially cute to have them look at each other and smile and coo at each other. They're so loving. When you're out, you feel like a bit of a celebrity because everyone wants to see them. It's nice, positive attention. I admit it. If I'd had a rough week, it's very nice to get practically applauded by perfect strangers. I think that you get extra pats on the back because there are two. Sometimes, though, you get people saying, you've got your hands full, or double trouble, huh? But that's not how I feel. The other day, my husband ran into the video store for a movie while I was in the car. It was raining outside and the twins were in the back seat. A woman walked over to our car and was pointing to the back seat. I thought something was wrong. I rolled down the window and she exclaimed, you have twins! I think that she was just so excited for me. I don't think that I'll ever get over it. It's crazy. But it's crazy good.
That's so cool.
I just thought that was really beautiful way to talk about having twins.
Yeah.
You know? And so I... you know, emailed back and said that I've kind of, you know, always secretly hoped to win the baby lottery. I think that was kind of a cool way that she put it.
Yeah.
And so any mothers out there of twins, just...
good for you.
That's for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, really cool. And it was kind of neat to have that slant put on it where you totally get the stereotypes of double trouble,
right.
Got a lot on your hands and that whole thing. And so it's kind of neat to hear the positive spin. So thanks again, Tina. We appreciate that. If you have any comments in general or feedback on our show, how to make it better, we'd love to hear it. Just send an email to us at podcast@kimandjason.com. And please help us. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. Tell a friend about the Escape Adulthood podcast. Just keep spreading the word. We really appreciate it. The audience keeps getting bigger and bigger. And we'd appreciate that. So you can find the link to Podcast Alley in the show notes.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Now for the cool thing portion of our show. This, I have to say, I'm very excited about. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. We're talking about the ice cream spaghetti maker. And just the title of that makes me confused as to what is it? Ice cream spaghetti? What are we talking about here? But there is a product out there. We're trying to get it on our store. So we're not going to make any promises yet, but we will see. But basically, you know, like Play-Doh, like the Play-Doh tools you had as a kid that, you know, you put the Play-Doh in and it squeezes out and looks like spaghetti hair or whatever.
Loved it.
Yes, those were the best. And they were very hard to clean out with those little specks of Play-Doh. But
indeed.
But basically, that's the same concept of this. So you take ice cream, you put it in this contraption, you squeeze, it comes out looking like spaghetti, assuming you're using vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Then it comes with some type of strawberry glaze type topping. That
did it come with that, or did it just
it
like recommended?
Maybe it's recommended. I don't know. But anyway, the concept is you put on this red strawberry type glaze thing that looks like spaghetti sauce, and then you take white chocolate and shred it on top like Parmesan cheese, and you serve spaghetti ice cream. So
serve chilled.
How cool is that to have some friends over and serve spaghetti? Or, you know, it'd be kind of neat to do that and then make the spaghetti ice cream for dessert.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty cool looking. It was sort of like weird at first
kinda,
to see.
Well, like, it's kind of like drinking green milk or something. Yeah. You're just like, am I going to like this? Like, it should taste
but I think
fine.
They have
it's just
different
ice
attachments
cream.
For like lasagna noodles,
yes,
and just different things. So
really
it could
cool.
be a really cool thing. So,
And it's one of those things that, yeah, if you have kids, it would be a blast. But we don't have kids, and I want it bad. Like,
yeah, totally.
So it's just very, kind of gets that childlike spirit going. So
cool thing.
Check it out.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Today's prescription, this is a simple one. Make some time to slack off a little bit. Go so hard all the time. You read it. You don't want your brain to shrink. You not want, you know, you want to be thinking about where your life is headed. If you're in a business or if you're in a company, you need to have the creative, innovative ideas that are going to put you ahead of your competition. You need a little time to slow down and have that time to let your mind just kind of wander. So make some time in the next couple weeks to do that, both on a business and a work and a personal level. So go for it.
Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. And for Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.